Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Sam and Greg. And I bring you happy greetings.
Happy greetings.
From Sarasota, Florida.
Okay. You had to just spend some time there this week.
I had to go take care of a veteran.
Yes.
Of a foreign war.
Not just any veteran.
Yeah.
Not
right.
Just any veteran.
No, not any veteran. Somebody who was at D-Day.
Yeah.
Plus one. And somebody who smacked my little self around quite a bit as a kid.
Yeah.
Man responsible for all my groundings.
Yeah.
And I made it easy on him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Pop says hello.
Oh, great.
He is
man.
Much better.
Good.
I had to go and undo what my brother did.
Okay.
Deal with the doctors down there. Everything is, the ship has been righted.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's
and I left him with, now listen, all this is all you need to know about this dude at his age. I left him with his favorite meal. It wasn't his favorite meal till I started coming down there on a regular basis, and it is now. Publix fried chicken and the home style potato salad.
Yeah,
they sell it.
It's all right there.
That's and I mean that's his Thanksgiving dinner.
Really?
He said. So
and you know what? A lot of people listen to you right now saying, yeah.
Yeah, but this dude still eats like he's a freshman in college.
Yeah.
He, you know, he got a 9 in front of his age. And I'm thankful but I'm in awe. I really am that, you know, he's still kicking.
Yeah.
And I don't mean just kicking like sitting in a chair.
No.
You know, passing gas into a sofa cushion. He's up doing stuff. And he's up walking around the block. And he's up, you know, fixing little things around the house. So anyway, he said hello to you. And
cool,
I made a bunch of stuff for him. And, you know, like when your grandma comes over and cooks a bunch of stuff, puts it in the freezer.
Yeah.
I made him some red beans and rice and put that in there.
He can bring that
chicken
out.
Chicken thing.
He can bring that out when he wants to.
Yeah, man. Big old thing of it.
Nice,
so he says
nice,
hello.
Nice.
We'll
man,
talk about
cool.
that drive up because we're going to talk about South Georgia
yeah,
during
ooh,
the show and,
yeah.
and their want for a certain football coach.
Wow. This week. We'll talk about it. But let's talk about what happened to our teams. First of all, Braves are in Philadelphia.
There's nothing more to talk about. I'm what? Worried. I'm what? Worried. I got one. Let me ask you this.
Why is that?
Who's the worst person on this Braves team that could go down? And give you the feeling that could derail any playoff success.
Wow.
We can start off with the All-Star, right?
Right, okay.
One
okay.
of the All-Stars.
Yeah.
That would be Acuna, right?
Right.
Okay, you start with him. Would it be fair to say that the second person in the minds of a lot of people would be Freddie?
I would think so.
Okay. Third is why I'm worried. And that, to me, in my list, this guy is third, but he is important in a way that he might actually bump, you know, move ahead of Freddie, and that's the locker room presence. And I'm talking about Markakis and him getting hit last night on the wrist, taken out, and they made it sound like he was wearing some kind of splint after the game. He's going to get that thing checked out today. But I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't going to lie, I'm worried. That was the one thing that we said about this Braves team that we hoped didn't happen, and if it did, it could derail. Well, that's like any contender, too.
Yeah, overall, a long season, you're going to have some of those type things. You hope that the team can, you know, can stay afloat. And that's the part about having a great bench. This team has a deep bench right now. Enter Inciarte.
Inciarte couldn't have come back at a better time.
Absolutely. We got a little something that Dansby Swanson missed a game last. He was out of the lineup, got a sore heel. I mean, it's a long season, like you said, but we're getting to that point of the year where somebody needs to get a little time away and get fully healthy, they need to go and do it.
I mean, obviously the good news is they won the game.
Right? Oh, great. The bat's coming out
McCann
big time.
McCann jerked one out. Cunha got one. A couple hits. Albies. Man, did you see that shot? It was late in the game. I think it was when Cunha brought in a couple runs. I don't have the breakdown of the innings in front of me here. But anyway, Ozzie came up next and hit like a double. Actually, he stretched it to a triple, was out. But they right. showed Acuna going from first to home.
That gets you excited, doesn't it?
Man, that dude was, I won't say he was exactly Deion-like, but it looked – when Deion was doing it, when the baseball helmet fell off, he had short hair. Did he have a little bit of a Jerry curl?
He had a little curl.
He had a little curl going, and Acuña had it, his helmet came flying off.
Yeah.
He had his hair blowing back like Dr. J coming down the line with the big afro flying back. He was picking him up and laying him down.
That's a great thing to see. I love to see – yes, you know, I love to see the speed back in the game of baseball. So that was great to see. So a lot of great things last night. Soroka got the start in the game.
But he didn't get the victory. He had a chance to get the win. They had to yank him out just before the fifth inning ended. Felt bad for him.
Yeah.
They had two outs there, man. And just for whatever reason, did you have a problem with them taking him out?
No. I mean, that's what needs to happen at that point, at that point of the game. You know, that's the thing. You make those decisions at this part of the season. You know, when you're facing teams that are right behind you in the pennant chase. And that's what's big about this road trip. Philadelphia and then Washington. These are the two teams that you have been watching. And, you know, we're going to talk to somebody tomorrow morning who's got this.
Oh, Gil's coming back?
Tomorrow morning to talk about Philadelphia Phillies, man. You know what he told us last time?
Oh, Gil's, he had sparks coming off his tongue.
He just went off
last
time.
He is not a fan of the hometown teams.
Yeah.
And the people running them.
Yeah.
So he's always a good radio then. He's great radio when he comes on and starts spitting fire when they're playing an Atlanta team. And, you know, a lot of you remember Gil when he was here broadcasting. Was it down on 46?
Wow, 46 and some with GPB, some with Fox 5. And, you know, he's up in Philadelphia now, but still keeps an eye on what's happening with the teams in Atlanta, with the Braves being in Philadelphia and with the Phillies being where they are in the standings right now. That should be an interesting conversation tomorrow morning. But we're going to talk some baseball later on this morning. Corey McCartney. From Fox Sports, the crew for the Braves is going to join us. Get us
worried.
Up to date.
Yep, worried. I'm just saying, I'm worried.
I have been at different times this week. The Kansas City series, I didn't worry too much about that. I was focused on this weekend and going back to Philadelphia and to Washington, and that's what has been a concern for me.
Well, why wouldn't you be concerned over Kansas City, other than the fact that it's, you know, American League team, but you still want to win those games.
We still want to win them for sure. But you know, that was fine just getting through that one, getting through those. And these are the games, you know, your head-to-head meetings against the teams that you're going to have to face and have to stay ahead of. To me, those things are so important. We did see some good performances last night, though. Got another Sean Newcomb, another good, you know, a good inning work. And then we got a third of an inning work. And then – welcome Jeremy Walker, because he came in for the ninth inning, brought up to the big league club, not in a save situation, but still the ninth inning, and you get the pitch on the road in Philadelphia, just to see what his confidence like. You know, go out there, Rook. Let's work the nerves out. See how you do, and had a strong performance there in the ninth inning. So welcome to the team.
Still worried. You got to talk me off this ledge, man. You got to talk me off this ledge. I'm worried about it. We'll see what happens. Markakis, again, this is, if you're just joining us, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. Bittersweet win for the Braves last night. They get the victory, but they lose Nick Markakis, and we don't know for how long. There are going to be x-rays taken today on what happened. He got hit in the wrist, taken out the game. Man was wearing a splint as he left the stadium last night. So we don't know how long, but he's going to be gone for a minute. And his presence, not only on the field, but in the locker room, is something that's just necessary. I don't think the wheels are going to come off this team. I don't mean to make it sound like that, but you want him there as much as possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You don't want to lose that presence.
He's been that since he's come to this team. And, you know, being a product of the area, obviously taking a lot of pride in being that stabilizing factor for this team as the young players have come in. And been that steady person, and right, but you know what you're going to get with him, each and every night. So you want to see how severe it is. Going to be evaluated today, and you know, hopefully we find out something later on today. By the time the Braves play the Phillies, what the status is. But yeah, something you don't want to see at any stage of the season, but at this part of the season. So we're hoping for the best, better report.
Just worry. So listen, I leave town, and thinking that the ship has been righted here with this Atlanta United, and then they go out. We talked about this last week, man. This trip out to California was going to be something that concerned you.
Yeah.
And at least they came back. But they did not get the win, obviously, against LAFC. And, I mean, they were down 4-1 for a while. But, again, you know, got a couple goals.
Got a couple goals.
Made it respectable.
You know what? And Doug Roberts from the HAC told us last week that was going to be a big scene and that MLS was watching, because this could possibly be a preview of the MLS Cup Championship. this team in the West, and looks like they're on their way to get in the Supporters Shield, which would made it mean you would have to go to their place to play it. That place was rowdy.
Oh, that was a rowdy stadium. It reminded me of, and this is the first time I can think this has ever happened. It was completely opposite of what we get from the national media. In that for decades, when a certain team would come play an Atlanta team, they traveled. The Celtics when it was the Hawks. Green Bay when it was the Falcons. Oh, yeah. You had those teams that their fan base always filled up Atlanta stadiums, and people on national media would say something about, well, you so-and-so Atlanta fans, y'all don't support the team and blah, blah, blah. That wasn't the case last night. That place was full of stripes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was nothing but looked like a Keebler party. It was nothing but Atlanta United jerseys, it seemed like, and rowdy.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was
the way he described it to us last week, the way Doug, he said, is that there's a lot of, you know, excitement for that team out there, with them having two teams in the Los Angeles area, the other being the Galaxy, and that's the team that we will face next. We'll face them here. But just the idea that this team has come on in a short period of time, kind of like Atlanta United. This team hasn't been around that long, and here they are now with the best record, looking like they're a team that's in command out West. And they, even after Atlanta United scored first, didn't faze them a bit. They reeled off four goals.
Yep.
One was a penalty that was kind of controversial, and I'm watching and listening to the commentator, and they were both thinking, you know, that maybe that wasn't a penalty, maybe it didn't deserve the kick, but it was awarded anyway, and they made it goal and made it 3-1 at that point. Then they go up 4-1, and I'm like, my goodness. And the crowd just went bonkers. I'm like, whoa. It wasn't a good feeling at all. Just before half, Joseph Martinez gets a goal and restores a little bit of order.
Man, the picture they used after he scored that goal, did you see that one? Like he was taking himself a big hit off a blunt. You know what I'm saying, man? They did. The picture they took, he was holding a Bob Marley-sized joint. Or pantomiming one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was the picture they used. I couldn't believe that.
Yo. So it's like, I couldn't. That made it 4-2. They get another goal to make it 4-3, and it was a thrilling, thrilling match. So what looked like is running out of control there for a minute when they were down 4-1 ends up being still a defeat, but playing and executing very well. And then holding them scoreless in the second, I think, was big to not allow them to score again. Those are things we can take away from it that were positives. You wanted to get the win, though. In a situation, right, in an environment like that on the road, you wanted the win.
Again, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Coming up next segment, we're going to talk about this past week events going on here in Atlanta, one you were a part of. But let me just say this right now. We are opening up the lines to you guys because today is a special day in that it is the anniversary of something that you can't tell the history of this city without talking about this event. This is the anniversary of the bomb going off in Olympic Park during the 96 Olympics. They are, as we speak, Clint Eastwood and the production company for Richard Jewell is over there. Ken told me he saw him. They're setting up because they're about to start filming a lot of those scenes.
So they recreated the park as it was.
As best as possible. I haven't been over there, and I'm going to tell you how you could be a part of that.
Okay.
But we want to hear your story. I'm the only dude that ain't got a story connected with that where I was, you know, that night. You have a story.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a story. I ain't got one. I want to hear your stories today. Where were you? And I'm not trying to make light of it, but where were you when the bomb went off? If you were here in Centennial Olympic Park, Sam and Greg, we're just getting started. BB&T information up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Style plays that are a higher percentage chance for me to find some success and find football. So, I mean, from a tight end room perspective, I think I can speak for our whole group when we say we really enjoy the new offensive style.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. That is one hell of a tight end right there you just heard from.
Pro Bowl tight end.
That's right. Austin Hooper talking about, listen, that's what they do. They give you the cliches. They give you the overview of what's going on. It's first week of training camp.
Yeah.
A lot of sound. Nothing meat and potatoes yet, though. Right? Nothing meat and potatoes yet.
Yeah.
But it's not. Maybe we'll get something today. The boys are going to be broadcasting from out there.
Yep. They have the yesterday off. They're back at work today up at Flowery Branch. And go up there and get a chance. It's open to the public. Go up and watch them work out.
Bring you something to fan yourself with and some comfortable shoes.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Because it's going to be a little walking.
Bring comfortable shoes, something to walk with, and I guess at least for that youngin'.
No, you know what though? You know, you got all that grass on the embankment. Just turn them loose.
Yeah,
there's not much you can.
Parents have talked about that. Sometimes the kids get out of their sight, and then something happens around the corner, and then you go experiment and hop the fence and go, well, let's see what's over there. Next thing you know, you're in.
Well, they want to hop in the fence.
Well, see, you know, you forget what you were like at 9, right?
Yeah, I wasn't going to jump in the fence. You know, I mean, you're going to me, there's a lot of things that you could see and amuse yourself with. And also, if they get tired of sitting watching the guys practice, there are little things you can go and do also. And stuff to eat as well.
Oh, man, plenty. Hey, 8:30, is it, Ken? Gates open at 8:30.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice.
So go out. We're out there Monday and first day of training camp, and Sports Radio 929 The Game was out there in force.
I had to leave. Like I said, stuff came up in my world, and I had to jump in the car immediately and head down south, right? Yeah. And on my way out of town, I was listening to the station, and Andy and Randy were giving Fricky all kinds of grief because apparently he left his bag.
Whoa.
At the broadcast location.
Oh, no.
And I think it was his wife's bag.
What?
And they were commenting about how they felt that Fricky didn't. Well, I don't know. Ken's asking me.
That was pretty amazing stuff.
Okay. I think Ken's asking. Yeah, it was. I think it had something to do with Nebraska. But anyway, they were talking about it and as if Fricky didn't care that he left this bag there. And it was his wife's bag.
Really?
So they were having fun with him with that.
Well, they had to come back the next morning.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Let me ask you a question. You finished broadcasting on Tuesday. You going to leave your wife's bag there till Wednesday morning?
No.
All right, then. So somebody had a conversation that night. somebody had a conversation.
Do you have it?
I thought Ken was signaling. By the way.
That's the best producer in the tri-state area.
He mentions that he leaves his
the best producer in the tri-state area.
Wife's bag Autry. In places too. So, but that's. But it was, sounded it, like they were having fun out there, man.
But everybody was out there working. Everybody was back. Everybody was on the field. That's what people were wondering. You know, we had two contract signings last week. We're still waiting to see if something else. The money's going to get done for Julio. People are waiting to hear for that.
Well,
but
they
he's
had to
there.
Wait till Friday, right? They had
but he's there.
Friday was the day. Yesterday was the day that if something was going to get done or the beginning of it, that was. That was the starting point. You had mentioned a couple acquisitions. They signed linebacker Stephon Anthony and Richie Brown.
Yeah, because unfortunately there were some injuries on the very first day of training camp. J.J. Wilcox, backup safety, tore his ACL, and you know you hate for that to happen. And defensive lineman Michael Bennett also with a broken ankle. And that was a very that's the thing you hate to hear about. Period. Because I mean any injury. But at that stage of camp, you're just getting started. Everybody's looking forward to playing their role with this team. You're getting so many pieces back healthy. And one thing I remember Coach Quinn saying, talking about the players who are coming back that were injured, he said, because so many people had to step in last year and become assume leadership kind of roles. Now you have the main guys coming back. You're going to have a lot of voices of experience in that huddle now. You know, on the defensive side and on the offensive side. I think that's just going to be an advantage for the team.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Let me ask you a question. Did you hear about the NFL releasing their list of top 100 players? Did you see this?
I heard something about it. I heard some about some of our folks weren't treated very
well. Well, the thing that's funny, and I want to get this right. So they released the top 100 players of 2018, okay? And Matt Ryan's name was there.
Yeah.
But and when you know they count down, so you don't want to hear your name that first sort of go through. So if you had to guess, did you see the list?
I didn't see it, but I heard.
You know where he is?
Yeah.
So those
of
you who don't know, according to the people who put these things together, Matt Ryan came in on the top 100 players at 69.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
68 players better than Matt Ryan.
Don't get it.
All right. But here's the thing.
They were kind of Julio.
They don't have Julio's number in front of me here. I didn't see this entire list. But this is what I was saying about Matt Ryan. In his MVP season, threw for nearly 5,000 yards, 49-44, all right? 38 touchdowns, just 7 interceptions.
Right.
That's when he led the team in Super Bowl. That was 2016. He was number 10 that year.
Wow.
Okay? In 2019, Ryan threw for, again, close to 5,000, 35 touchdowns, and wait, just 7 interceptions. He comes in 69th.
Maybe because he got sacked more.
I don't know.
I don't know. But how does a guy go from being 10 to 69? That's ridiculous.
Because the people who put this together want what we're doing right now, talking about it.
Okay.
Except I didn't put their name out who put it together. So okay, they ain't getting that kind of club. They're not getting that. Yeah. But it was just, again,
I don't get it. I don't get it. And I don't think a lot of folks right here. I think, you know, people who really follow the game and tuned in and watch games from week to week wouldn't say that either.
Here's my question. You got five quarterbacks to win a game to save you and your family. Is that I'm not going to put Matt Ryan in this right now, but I'm just saying, whoever you consider one of the top players, are they in that top five? And is Matt Ryan there in your book?
In my book, yeah.
Okay.
He's in the top five in the league for sure. Absolutely.
To win that one game to save you.
I think so.
Cool. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. So we had Falcons training camp start this past
Devontae
week.
Devontae Freeman's back and looked like he was in great shape, and that's big for the offense. It was great to see him back out, see 24 back out there. Got to keep him healthy, right. But you know what he brings to the table. He gives us that kind of person to kind of counter what the Saints have with Alvin Kamara, that guy that can run it but can split out and space.
We just want a running back that stays healthy all year.
Yeah, but this guy can do a lot of things.
Yes, he can when he's healthy. That's what we want. Listen, this team is polar opposite of the team that we have seen when he's not there. Not just having a good running back. When Coleman was back there carrying the load, it still was the dynamic way Freeman runs is just something that it puts defenses on their heels because you don't know where this dude's going to go next.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think that we need. You know, we hear in the conversation out of Cowboys camp about what's going on with Zeke and is he going to show up what he does for that offense when he's there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the same thing applies here with this Falcons team. But let me switch gears for a second because we're going to get back to talking about this past week in Falcons camp. But the beginning of this past week and throughout it, you have been busy right around the corner, up the street, down the block.
And there's nothing hanging off the side of the 12 Hotel.
And there's nothing hanging
there's
off
there. Nothing hanging off the side of the 12 Hotel, man.
This was a big week for Atlantic Station and the BB&T.
BB&T Atlanta opened the new configuration of the tennis stadiums over there, which is a big hit. New things to do around the tennis tournament. I mean, things you want to get. Yeah, the American Ninjas over there with a thing. The obstacle course, people could try that.
I wish you would have done that if somebody filmed it.
Why?
I would have enjoyed seeing it. You would have enjoyed seeing me.
Yes, I would enjoy seeing you give it a try. That was all kind of fun. But on the court, some people might say some disappointments. John Isner, who has won this tournament 5 times.
Big drink of water.
Comes in, and that's just it. Everyone saw how the draw, and they said it could be Isner against Riley Opelka in the second round because Isner got a bye in the first round Wednesday night. And sure enough, that's the way it worked out. So it was 6'10 Isner against 6'11 Riley Opelka.
We've seen that before. Not those two guys. Who's the other guy that's real tall that Isner's played?
Ivo Karlovic.
Yeah.
But the missiles were launching.
Yeah.
And I mean, they went 3 sets, tiebreak. And I mean, the tiebreak at the end of the second set, Isner starts it out with a 136 mile an hour serve. 2 points later, Opelka answers with a 138 mile an hour serve. It was like that, you know, and a lot of people are saying, well, that's not beautiful tennis. It's not the up and down, the back and the side to side. But I mean, if you got it, why not bring
it? Use it to traditionalist.
I don't know.
Let me see something exciting. Give me a reason why I'm sitting out here sweating like Kunta Kinte, all right? You do something exciting, you know. I don't necessarily – and listen, they don't want to be running back and forth either.
If I can rev back and hit it by somebody, you know, and I get a point at the end of the match, you say I'm the winner, that's all I'm caring about.
That's all you care about.
But Isner falls. He falls. And he's won a lot of matches like that, you know, but this time it caught up with him and Opelka wins. And Opelka is still in the tournament. He's into the semifinals coming up later on today. And so it's great to see if he can break through, win the first time here. He's going to play Alex de Minaur later on today. And also Taylor Fritz, another fellow American, taking on Cam Norrie from Great Britain. So it could be all Americans in the final. But some guys we want to see do well in the singles, didn't do well. Jack Sock knocked out the first round of singles.
Man, Jack Sock.
He's still around for doubles. He's still around for doubles, but got knocked out of singles.
He's supposed to be the best player in men's tennis. With a name like that, so we enjoy saying his name.
He got up to number 8 in the world and then
and he just fell.
He's fallen off, so he's trying to build it back up. Francis Tiafoe was there, and he's playing Bernard Tomic, who was supposed to be the next great thing in Australia after Leighton Hewitt and just hit a wall with some things mentally, emotionally, just checks out of matches. He looked like he wanted to be anywhere but on that court in that heat, taking on TFO. And all he was doing, I watched one game really closely. TFO hit a serve 109. His one like 118. His one 123, then 128. And all he's doing is just blocking it back to him. Yeah. It's like somebody playing third line Saturday morning Alta.
Yeah.
You know, and beats him. And the guy played like he didn't even want to be out there.
Well, listen, we saw that happen switching sports. Sometimes it's better to just do the basics and let the other guy, swirl down the drain.
But when you see that happening, you're supposed to make the adjustment. Remember we talked about the 15-year-old recently over at Wimbledon and how one day she's playing Venus.
That's about Coco.
She meets the opponent next time. She's spinning the ball, slicing the ball. And she dropped back. She made the adjustment. She changed up and adjusted her game to continue to win. Right. That's all I'm saying. I mean, if you only – this guy seems like he's – TFO played like he only got one gear. And I'm like,
well, that's been pretty successful for him so far. But you're right.
If he's going to break through and bring it to that top 25 and be that guy's contender for champions going into second weeks in major tournaments, you got to change the gear, man. And he's not doing it.
Maybe his second gear is, ain't that
meanwhile,
strong.
Meanwhile, speaking of Coco, I'm being told that she is going to play next week in D.C. I knew she was going to make
a tournament
appearance.
Where they actually have men and women, sort of like the BB&T here.
Well, this is a tool tournament for the women.
Because she's only got so many she can play before the U.S. Open.
Yes. Well, only wants so many she can play before her next birthday.
Well, wait, what is it? Is it the birthday or the next big major?
She's got like about five tournaments she can play before her next birthday in March.
Oh, okay. Well, she's going to get the U.S. Open in there because that's in a couple months.
Get in there, but you want to play something
just over then. A month.
You want to play something before that one.
Right.
It was thought that she was just going to go to Washington and just make appearances. Now it appears she's going to get a wild card and get a chance to play. And some people weren't not too crazy about it, the 15-year-old. But if you got a tournament.
Pound sand. Let them have fun.
I don't know.
Nobody said that about Hingis and all them other guys, Capriati, when they came up. So leave them alone. Listen, we got to get through this because I talked too long last time here. So up next, the rundown, the Corky Kale. Sam has got – well, we got a special guest.
Yeah.
Sam has cornered a guy who's going to have an interesting time when this thing hits, and we need to talk to him. Up next, we're going to talk to Milton High School's head coach.
Yeah.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg. Nine floors up in the Kia Studios on Saturday morning, a game day Saturday morning.
I've been waiting for that all week. All week long.
Yep. We're talking about those things going on this week and the games that are happening later on today. We talked about the Braves some. I talked about Atlanta United last night. And we're talking some high school ball. We're hoping to hear from Coach Adam Clack at some point.
We're working on that, hoping to
get a chance to chat with him.
And we also reached out to you guys because this is the anniversary of a massive event here in the city of Atlanta. Sort of, I don't know, how would you describe that?
Wow.
It's one of those infamous
nights
in the city.
This was arguably one of the greatest moments in the history of the city to have the Olympic Games, here.
Right.
To attract them to the United States, but to the South. People didn't think Atlanta would have a chance of getting the Olympic Games. We get them. And then have something like that happen.
On this date, 1996, was the night that the bomb went off in Centennial Olympic Park. And it is being recreated right now by Clint Eastwood as they continue making Richard Jewell over there. We got the coach.
We got the coach. Oh, okay. Of course, Sports Radio 99 The Game is your home for the Corky Kale Kickoff Classic. And one of the teams participating will be the Milton Eagles, the defending state champion.
Coming off a 13-2 season.
Milton Eagles. And joining us on the waitfor.com hotline is the head coach, Adam Clack. Coach Clack, good morning to you.
Good morning. Sorry, I had a little technical difficulty on this end. I don't know what's going on with this phone.
That's all right.
Glad to be on with you guys.
Absolutely.
Does that get old? Has that gotten old yet hearing you as the defending state champions?
Say that again.
Has that gotten old being introduced as the coach of the defender of the state champions?
That'll never get old. It's always a blessing and a real magical moment to remember that. But no doubt we're turning the page and looking forward and ready to push in 2019.
Coach, what is it that you most look forward to as you start every season? I mean, it's like spring training in baseball. You know, everything just smells a little bit different as you get going. So coming off a season like you had last year, what is it that you're most looking forward to attacking as you get ready for this upcoming year?
Honestly, going back to the last question, what I'm most looking forward to is just starting new, you know. I think whether you have a bad year or whether you have a great year, you're always excited to attack the new year. And you know, I don't want these guys or myself or my coaches to sit back and constantly compare everything to 2018, because the beauty of athletics and the beauty of team sports is, you know, hey, every team's brand new. You know, 2019 is going to be a brand new year. It's going to have brand new problems, and we're going to be excited to try to solve those things and prepare for all the new challenges with a brand new, you know, brand new identity and faces and all that kind of stuff.
Spending time on the waitfor.com outline with Coach Adam Clack, head football coach at Milton High School, coach of the Milton Eagles. And you talk about identity. You and I talked for a while last year before the season started, and you talked about the things your goals were for the program, not just locally, not just regionally, but nationally. And that's before you took on Cardinal Gibbons from Florida. You beat those guys, and that woke some people up. Talk about that win. I don't know if you hung on to that or referred to that as your season progressed, but to get a win over a program like that so early last season.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking about that just the other day. You know, reflecting, you know, somebody was asking about the season last year, and I think that was the most complete game I've ever been a part of. Just to see the way the boys responded on that stage, which, you know, we played them in the Freedom Bowl, and you know, what a heck of a football team. You know, just looking at them coming off the bus and walking our halls, it was a very impressive group who went on to win a state championship in Florida. But watching our boys play that night from the opening series of defense where we really kind of stuffed them and then blocked a punt for a touchdown and then just went on to really just play a complete game, that's when I knew, you know, I looked at some guys and said, well, we can play with anybody. You know, if we can recreate this game, we can truly play with anybody. So that really gave us confidence going forward in the season. You know, there are ups and downs and all that sort of thing, but you knew you had that in the tank, and that's always nice to be able to pull from something like that.
Coach, you know, not all the programs get a chance to play in the Corky Kell Classic, and you guys have been there. And what is that like? You know, when you talk to the kids, explaining to them the importance of being a part of this and kicking off your season, being a part of this, being a part of this tournament.
Well, it's something I referred to in my interview when I came to Milton. You know, I believe in Milton. I believe in the community of Milton. I believe in you know, things that I've seen from afar now being able to experience just the pedigree and the tradition and the pride that this community has in itself to be great in all aspects, whether it be baseball, whether it be, you know, our girls lacrosse team has won 13 state championships, guys. You know, I mean, like, our basketball team has had tons of success and really building something special. Our academics, our arts, all those things are really special about Milton. So, you know, when you're looking at the football program, the number one thing was, hey, we got to belong. If you belong in Georgia, you want to play in the Corky Kell. And that was something I referenced in my interview. It was like, we got to get in events like that. We got to go challenge ourselves and put our boys on that stage. And, you know, I just believe that if you put yourself in those situations, you know, the chance of rising up to the occasion at least exists, and that's what we started doing last year, and it really started with the Corky Kell, you know, and playing a great team like Archer, and just having that moment to play on a big stage with a big team.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Coach Adam Clack from Milton High School. They will kick off the season in the Corky Kell Kickoff Classic, the Metro PCS Corky Kell Kickoff Classic. They're going to play at Cool Ray Field I don't think they played any football out there before. Coach, it's been a football baseball stadium. I think they played soccer. They're going to play football. And you guys get to play Buford on Friday the 23rd. You're the 8:30 game. Thoughts about a new location and against another program with great tradition?
Well, you know, when Cool Ray was becoming an option and talking about maybe, you know, having to shift a little field dynamics, it's not built to be a football, you know, stadium and this and that. I mean, the nostalgia came back to old Fulton County Stadium, man. I'm thinking about the Raiders and watching teams play on a diamond. Like,
yeah.
our guys have never – I've never experienced that, you know. So I just think that's so cool. And that's something that we really want to create, and I think it's really important, especially in a place like you know, Milton in the northern suburbs, and where there's so many options to do other things. You know, one thing we're really trying to do is create experience. And I don't know, something as simple as playing it on a football field with half a baseball diamond cut out into it, to me, is cool.
See, <You know? laughs> that would drive me crazy. Play, hey, you know, but I get it.
Yeah, but you know they got to play on it too. So as long as they got to play on it, we got to play on it. Let's line up and go, and it's going to be something that the boys can look back at and say, man, we played at Kool-Aid Field, we played at Turner Field, Old Turner Field. You know, we played in the bins. You know, we're going to go out to California and play. Like, all those things to me create a holistic experience that makes football special. And then you talk about lining up with a team like Buford. The pedigree, the year in and year out, everybody knows who Buford is. Everybody knows what Buford stands for. So what a great way to come out of the gates and test yourself and see where you're at.
Yeah. Coach Clack, we appreciate you spending some time with us. We're looking forward to that game, looking forward to seeing your team go out and play against Buford to kick off the season. We thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning.
Yeah, good luck to you this season, Coach.
I appreciate you guys, man. Thank you so much for supporting this beautiful game and this beautiful state and allowing me to talk about the program a little bit.
No problem. Right, and enjoy that infield.
No doubt.
Talk to you.
All right, that is Coach Adam Clack, the head football coach at Milton and part of the Metro PCS Corky Kill Kickoff Classic, of course. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your home for the Metro PCS Corky Kill Kickoff Classic coming up August 22nd, 23rd, and 24th.
And be sure not to miss that biscuits and gravy game.
Yeah, we would.
Yeah, that's the first one. You got to come on with that with me. We got to keep naming that.
All right.
Anyway, a chance of some jobs up next. It's a casting call. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.